we read a lot, but I just have one verse of scripture, if you don't mind. And it's verse 25. And it said, "And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Amen?
Amen.
And the title of the lesson today would be Repentance and Restoration.
Amen.
And the Lord will do great things.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So we read in the book of Joel, and before I even get started with that, you know, when we come to Christ, it's a wonderful time. It's wonderful. When we come and our hearts are open and our minds are ready and we're looking for change, and some of us may have been very young and some of us may have been older and some of us may be in the last days of their life, that's when you came. But when you come, something happens. You know, you're expecting a different life. You're expecting that change is going to happen and life is going to be wonderful. And what I'm saying is confession does not always mean perfection. Amen? It doesn't happen that way. We wish it did, but it does not always happen that way. And we know that God has done some great things for us, but we still kind of slip back. You know, we get a little loose with our praying. We get a little loose with our church service sometime, our attendance sometime, our prayers sometime. We just, you know, we're transitioning. And sometimes when you're transitioning into a new part of life, let me correct myself, your salvation is immediate. It is immediate. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. You are filled with His Holy Ghost, and you are ready to do what He would have you to do. But then what you have to do is make the life that you have now and going forward line up with the Word. And sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you run into difficulty. Can I tell the truth in here? Is that all right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because I know everybody else has probably been saved and have had no problem in their walk. But, you know, I know some of us in here have had some little divots, some little trips every now and then.
Right.
Something came up, a little stumbling, you know? You know, I love it when you stumble because that gives God the opportunity to strengthen you and put you back where you need to be. And any of us who have a child or a grandchild, when you see them make a misstep, we all jump up and everybody is running right there to make sure that they can get on their feet and keep going. So that's what happens when I walk with the Lord. But we have to realize at some point we're going to need to repent. We're going to need to look at the things that we've done in the past. We're going to need to look at how we treated people, how we treated the Word of God in our life. We have to look at sometimes and determine what was so important that I couldn't serve God. Who was he or who was she that I couldn't go and make my commitment to the Lord like I was supposed to? Every time they might have come around, or the job might have come around, or the car might have come around, or the bank statement comes in, you always have a challenge at that point in time. Do I keep walking like the Lord is telling me to walk? Or am I doing this on my own? Can I veer off a little bit? Or is it okay? Or sometime it'll happen where you have one mix-up and then you're gone.
Wow.
You think that God will never forgive you. Just one. Some people have left the body of Christ because they've made a mistake.
Wow.
And they don't know that they can come to God with a clean heart and a clean mind, ready to do what He would have you to do, and true repentance.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today is repentance.
Yeah.
Because with Joel, there were some problems there at that time with Judah. And they were not walking and living the way that God would have had them to live. And they had a lot of things that came down upon them that interfered with the way that they were living. I mean, their ground was bad because of locusts. The trees were no longer bearing the fruit that they needed to bear. And they've already known what God can do. But they had to come out of where they were, out of judgment, to be in a position where God can bless them again. And you have to ask yourself today, am I in judgment? Because that's the worst place if you have put yourself in judgment. If you're judging yourself, you're not even letting God do it. But if you're judging yourself, there's no way out with that.
No.
You know, there's no way out. If you're judging, if you don't think you qualify to do what God will have you to do based upon your circumstances, but you haven't checked the Word or you haven't gotten in with anybody who could talk and pray with you, that's the problem. You feel like you're stuck.
Yeah.
See, Joel comes in and lets them know you're not stuck.
Uh-huh.
There's a way through this. And when you get through this, it's better than you were before. Yeah. But you have to acknowledge that there was a problem. Yeah. Acknowledge that you need to do better. Yeah. Realize what's been eaten up and torn up around you because of the way you've been living. That causes us to maybe look at our children, look at our grandchildren, look at our lives as a whole, our relationships with our husband, even mothers and fathers. Maybe some of these relationships are the way they are because of the way you're acting. And we need restoration. Because there's no repentance without restoration. And the restoration, okay, sorry, Bishop. Okay. A call for repentance in the midst of judgment is what we're looking at today. And we need to see, where do we stand with this? Look at your life. You know, do you have a problem with some locusts? Do you have a problem with some canker worms? Some caterpillars? Palmer worms? And the way that they all came at different times. So at one point, there was the locust there, and they were chewing up and eating up, and they were killing things. And after them came the canker worm. And after them came the caterpillar. And after them came the palmer worm. All around you. House not right. Can't get anything done. Ground's not good. We can't get any crops. Thought we were serving God, but we really moved out of the way that he would have us to be in. What do we do? What do? We look for restoration. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where Joel comes in with them in chapter 2. And reading 1 and 3 would definitely be a benefit to you, but I won't take a lot of your time. I just want to talk about the repentance and the restoration. And what we find out with restoration, that God will bring back the things that were important in your life for you to serve him. Yeah. When you're restored, it may not be everything that you really want, or everything that you thought was dear to you, that might not be the case. But whatever you need to serve God in fullness and in truth, that comes back when you're restored. Yeah. And you can't look at restoration and say, well, I want to do this part and not that part. You want a complete restoration back in your relationship with God, because you want to have every benefit when he comes. And that great day, when he comes to us, we want to make sure that we are doing everything that he has called us to do freely. Not with begrudging attitudes, not because I have to. I'm doing it because of the fact that I love him. Yeah. That's the thing about repentance. You really don't do it because of the fact that some things around you are not going well, because that's really not the way it should be done. Repentance should be done from the fact that I'm not pleasing God. Right. And because I'm not pleasing God, things are not working out as the way they should be. I got my locusts going on right now. You know, you can move the locusts, but if you don't start to plead God, you got the canker worms that are going to come back.
Say it like that.
Okay, you get over the canker worms, and the next you know the caterpillars are now here. What's going on? I thought I exterminated all of this. You know, I thought my repentance and my turning got rid of all these things around me that are trying to tear me down. But that's not the case if it's not from your heart. They talk about renting your clothes because so much is going on, and it shows how sorrowful you are. And that's what they did in the Old Testament a lot. But what Joel says is we need to rent our hearts. Okay, our hearts need to be cut. Our hearts need to be cleaned. Our hearts need to be torn, because we can't deal with what's going on in our life, and we can't deal with what's going on in the world around us. So when we rent our hearts, we make our hearts open and available to do what God would have us to do. Yeah. And we're available for change to be in our life. Are you praying with me? I won't take that long. So heart sorrow, clean living. That's another thing too. You can't repent and go back and repent and go back. Because a lot of people do that. You know, you're doing something, you know, especially when you're younger, you do a little something, you repent, you come back to church, you're okay, you're double clapping, singing, shouting. Then something happens again, and then you're back out there doing what you want to do. You come, you sit in the back, you have your head down for a little bit, walk down the aisle, sit down, we pray for you, we touch you, everything's great, until you get into that same situation again. I'm not lying, I don't think. But your repentance has to be true. It has to be filling, and it has to be ongoing. You don't repent just to be here in the household of God. Everybody can really do right in here, I think. Yeah, you should be able to without any problems. Your distractions should be minimal when you're in here, and if you have some distractions while you're in here, we'll open up the altar for prayer, because we want to really touch and agree with you that whatever your distractions are, they're gone, so you're not focusing on anything but Christ. And the blood. But you have to do that. And then what happens is you keep going back and forth, and you end up being out there, and you should be in here. You know, and then, you know, you may go a couple years, couple months, who knows? But then you'll come back in, and you want to repent again. Let's circumcise our hearts today. You know, let's cut to the chase. Let's find out what the problem is, where I'm not growing, or I'm not in the place where God would have me to be, or why the people in my house are not growing, and they're not where they should be. What do I need to do as my part in this restoration? Because the restoration comes directly from God. We know that. He does that. But we have to look at what part have we played in this, individually and as a group, even as a church family. You know, if you're sitting here co-signing something else that a brother or a sister is doing, when I say co-sign, I mean you're agreeing to back them up as they're making whatever choices and decisions that they're making. And you're doing that, and you know that's not what God would want for their life, never mind your life, you're into it with them. You've opened up your door for some more locusts to come in, some more canker worms to come in, because you just didn't say the truth. You just didn't tell them, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. You know, we have to have, in these last days, we have to have strength, and we have to have power, and we don't need to be in a position when we're talking to people, whether they're in church or out of church, without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's like, don't tell me any lies. Time is too short. Don't tell anybody else any lies. If something was good for you, then it was good for you. But if it was a problem, then it was a problem. And if somebody's doing something and you know that it's not in line with the Word of God, and you're sitting there with them, and you're not making any differences as far as telling them or showing them or bringing out a scripture and letting them see the scripture, you're just as bad. You're at fault. And that's even in our homes, too. Sometimes we have adult children and say, you know, look, I brought them up. I did whatever I needed to do. They know how to go to the Bible. They know how to go to church. No, when they come to you and they're still not living the way they should be living and their challenges are coming up and they need to talk to a mom or a grandmom or a dad or a granddad, the first thing you do is check them on their walk. You know, I'm going to check you on your walk. What's going on here? You know, why haven't you? Because you've known better. And then I'm going to take you to the scripture to show you that I'm not talking to you because I'm mad at you. I'm talking to you because I love you. Amen. That's the difference. I love you. I want you to walk in Christ. I don't want you to go to heaven bareheaded. You know, it's one thing you came and, you know, you gave your life to Christ, but now you're out here doing everything you want to do, slip back in every now and then, but you know you're okay because you've been taught, Bishop, so you know what salvation, you know, consists of, but you don't know why your life is in such a mess, why you have all these insects around you, the ones that you brought in, that crawling and taking over, tearing down anything that's good for you, gone. Gone. And no matter how much you spray, no matter how much you wash, no matter how much you do, they're still there. I'll tell a story because every day has not been always that best in my life. So when I was very young, out on my own with kids, I was in an apartment, and the apartment didn't have canker worms or caterpillars or palmer worms or locusts. They had some other kind of bug that liked to live around. So, you know, I wasn't used to that. So I cleaned up, and I sprayed down, and I'd be okay for like maybe half the day or a day or two. Then another one would come walking around, and I got to start the process all over again. Keep cleaning up, because we couldn't get rid of them, because they're infested. And that's what you have to look at today. Is your life infested? Is something coming up and keeps coming up, and you've tried your best to get rid of it? I think it's time to turn it truly over to the Lord. Because what I had to do was I had to move out. And then when I moved into my new place, I had to make sure that it was very clean there. And that, there you go, sis. Because they like to go with you. That's a slight problem. They're following you wherever you want to go. You got to be careful. You know, my mother was like this. Where you been? Okay. Go shake your bag outside. So I got that with my kids when I was growing up. They were growing up. Shake it in the garage. Because you don't want one of those items, and I'll say roach, so in case somebody doesn't know what I'm talking about, a roach, since we're talking about bugs today, to get inside your house. Because you know one in, millions out. Amen? So if we look at the scripture like this, and we look at, and you go through detail and see what they were going through, I mean, it overtakes you. It overtakes you. You don't want to stay there with them. You have to move to another place. But your moving is important, just like it is in the spirit realm. Your moving means that you want to be cleansed. Yeah. You want to be whole. Yeah. You don't want to deal with this issue anymore. Yeah. I'm moving forward, and I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. That doesn't mean you can't go back. If you want to, you can, because God gives us our own free will. Yeah. But if you go back, you're going to bring a bug with you. And you know, look at your life now today. Not, you know, probably nobody in here, but wherever you may be, look at your life. Mm-hmm. See what needs to be killed. And let's kill it today with the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. So with that restoration, we're in a strong place. And think about it, if you've ever had to live like that, once you get into a new place where it's clean and you don't have to worry about something coming out in the middle of the night, you can put your glass out and nothing will get in it overnight. You know, y'all, I'm just telling my own story. I know everybody else has never lived like that. But you feel really good about where you're at, because that's something I don't have to worry about anymore. And that's the same thing when we have these insect issues in our life. Once we move them out, we're in a real good place, because we don't have to worry about that anymore if we've turned it over to God. And right. He's the one that has actually exterminated the problems that may be in your life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So restoration. And then with him, with the restoration, we get satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And the scriptures tell us that you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied.
Yeah.
And praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you.
Yes.
And my people shall never be ashamed.
All right.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That is awesome. That satisfaction.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about anything else anymore. I'm pleasing in the sight of God. Yes. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to hide my walk, hide my conversation, hide where I live, hide who I text to on the phone, hide what sites I'm on the internet.
No.
I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, because it no longer has a hold on me.
Thank
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Praise God. I'm satisfied. Yeah. Praise him. Because you know what? To be satisfied in this world and with Jesus and Jesus alone is not an easy thing to do. The distractions are terrible out there. If they're bothering us when we're adults, you can imagine how our young people are feeling. They have things that we never even thought about as to pull them quietly away from God. They can sit in their bedrooms and do all kinds of things that we could never even think about. With nothing, no trails or anything like that. You don't know what's going on with their mind or their face or anything like that. I mean, at least with us, you could look at our face and see we had a problem or we've done something. They always look the same. They got the head down. They're in a phone. They're doing all this. And we don't know who they're talking to. We don't know what's coming into our homes. But we have to trust them. We have to show them how we live so they have the power to step out of that place where God does not want them to be. So satisfaction. Yeah, satisfaction. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. Not ashamed of the things I might have done in the past, because those are covered by the blood. Not ashamed of who I was before I came to Christ, because that's covered by the blood. Not ashamed of where I am right now, because I'm where God would have me to be, and I'm doing what he would have me to do. Not ashamed. You don't have anything or anyone else to compare yourself to other than the Word of God. They can do whatever they want on TV. They can live wherever they want. They can drive whatever they want. But if you're where God has you to be, no need to be ashamed.
Amen.
Because a lot of times when we're outside of our means and doing other things, is we're ashamed of where we're at. You know, we want a bigger house. We want a bigger car. We want this. We want that. Better job. All of those things. But you become content once you're restored. When you're content in Christ and you're restored to where God will have you to be, satisfied.
Amen.
Just that I'm not ashamed. You want to come to my house? Come on over. Yale Street. Come on. Yard's not that great right now, but come on over. You're welcome. You're welcome. My restoration is still in process. I haven't gotten to the yard this year, but I'm believing God for next year on that. But come. I'm not ashamed to take you where I live. I'm not ashamed to put you in the car that I have, because it's mine. I'm not ashamed to wear what I wear, because this is what I'm called to wear at this time. I don't have to have the designer clothes. I don't have to have the big car, even though the Lexus is nice, Minister shared. The two-door sport coupe is beautiful. Yeah, I got to repent every time I look at it and say I'm satisfied, you know? Because it rises up. I mean, I'm laughing, but that could be a desire that I would want to act on, because I think I want that car. No, I have the car that God told me to get. So it looks nice, wonderful in the movies, but I'm going to go ahead and drive this car that I have, because this is what I need at this time.
All right.
At this time. I'm not going to live. Yeah. At this time, Brother Sean, praise the Lord. I love God. He's so good to me. He's so good to me. And verse 27 says, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and no one else, and my people shall never be ashamed." So it's not about even anything that you may have, but you belong to God. You belong to God. When you are truly walking under the anointing he has given you for your life, you're his. You're his. And that's it. That's all that matters. You could be 56 years old and think you need a husband, but that's not what God's saying unless he sends you one. Whereas you could be 20 years old and think you need a husband, and you don't need one until he sends them. If God does not send the person in your life to be with you and be in relationship with you, you don't need to be bothered. Because what's happened is you done messed around and got you a locust and brought him back in the house. You done fooled around and got her a cankerworm, brought her into your house. This is a serious thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything that we do has to lie upon, is it in God's will or not in God's will? The littlest thing to the largest thing. I mean, what you may eat for dinner compared to who you might marry, all should fall into what God has planned for you. But every time you take and put something else in there, you know, grab some more bugs. Grab some more bugs. So nowadays when I'm looking and I'm seeing them, y'all got bugs again. Bugs again. And you're already free. And you're already clean. And you're already ready to do whatever he would want you to do. And then you go find some foolishness and put it back in your house. Put it into your spirit. Put it into your life. Because I'll tell you, it works the same all the way. You find the person. You think they're nice. You might have found them at church. That makes them even nicer, per se. They come and go to church with you a couple times, you know, three or four times. Then I look out there, and you're not there anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm concerned. And then I look and look, and then you come in by yourself, and you're sitting in the back now, and your eyes are really down because you've let some foolishness into this holy life that God has set apart for you. And, you know, he's standing there saying, oh, no, please don't go through this again. Don't go. I got the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you. No, no, no. But we want to move. We want to move in our flesh. And that's the easiest thing. I mean, we talk about the young people doing that, but I have to say the older women and the older men do the same things. Yeah. 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 I mean, you're living. You're content. No shame. Filled with the Holy Ghost, everything you did from before is now gone, and then you see so-and-so, and everything rises back up again. Foolishness. Foolishness, not restoration. Bringing the bugs back. You just can't bring the bugs back anymore. You can't bring them back. Time is too short. No more the locusts. No more the canker worms. No more caterpillars. No more palmer worm. I mean, every time you see one of them out there, you need to think, that's sin. That's sin. Somewhere, for somebody, it needs to go. And just like you can identify the actual insect, when the human insects come in, you need to be in a position, I'm sorry, you can identify them too and stop playing games. Stop playing games. Because we don't have enough time. And then I would ask you, women of God and men of God, how many insects have you already let in and that had to be cleaned up? Because you could no longer stand where you were living and how you were living. And you might have been in Christ and you still kept bringing them in. Because you don't want to be alone.
Well,
that's a whole different sermon. I'll stop. Brothers, too. I mean, that's not just for the ladies. Brothers, too. Because they'll have their eyes on you. If you're in here and you're single, you're the next husband. You don't even need a TV show to try and figure it out. Nope, you're the next one. God is good. So we want to live restored. We want to repent. We want to have no shame. We want to be satisfied. Satisfied. That's the key. That's what keeps you home at night. Satisfied. That's what gets you out the refrigerator in the middle of the night. Satisfied. Satisfied. That keeps your bank account in the positive instead of the negative. Satisfied. Satisfied. It's important because you can't witness if you're not satisfied. Because the things that are in your life, are not good enough for you. So you're not going to tell anybody about what's going on. You'll wait until you get to this level. Oh, now I can testify about this. But no, you got to testify about your whole life. What God has brought you from and where he has you today. Everything he did for you. And then if you're telling the truth, you'll tell him about the dips and the falls and the insects you let back in. That's a true testimony. But here's where I'm at today. But I could have possibly been there 10 or 15 years ago if I listened. God is good. Okay, I'm almost done. You know, and we have to be in that position because of the outpouring. And verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." There's more to what we have than what we have today.
Yes.
As we cleanse our life, as we line it up to the word of God, there are some things that God wants to pour into us that only his spirit can do. Only his spirit can guide us and cleanse us and give us the strength and power that we need to go and proclaim that Jesus is real.
Yes.
You know, and as long as you have other things mixing, other spirits, other issues, other drinks, other drugs, other people, you can't expect a full indwelling of God's Holy Spirit in your life. And you really can't change unless you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you and guiding you. So you got to go into the cupboards and check out what areas may be a little cluttered with some things that you forgot were even there. And get them out. And make yourself open and ready to receive the outpouring of God's Holy Ghost in your life. And what's so good about us at this time, it's not like it was in the Old Testament. You received the Spirit for a certain time, for a certain thing that you have to do. At the point of salvation, God pours his Holy Spirit within us. Within us. At that time, the Spirit of God has the ability to be in control of what we do and how we do it. But how many people shut him off? How many people don't want to hear the Holy Ghost as he's speaking and guiding?
Well,
and then I'll say, how many people know he's there and know when you get up to speak, whether you're at work, you're at church, or whether you're in the grocery store, he's going to come forth with the word that's necessary for whoever you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of life you want to live.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's a restoration type life.
Yes.
So whatever you're saying is going to restore that person.
Amen.
Give them the direction that they need to have to move and have their life in Christ Jesus. Outpouring. Could anybody here use more of the Holy Spirit just moving in your life, guiding you and strengthening you? And it's hard to say that if you've been in church for a while that you want more of his spirit. I do it every day because I don't know what's coming up. You know, I don't know who I'm going to have to talk to. I don't know what kind of situation I have to walk into. And I find even though I'm at home now more than I'm at work, I have to do it in my house. Yeah, because I have to be ready. I don't know what they're coming through with. And they're coming through, you know, they're coming. At some point in time, they're going to come through the door, whether it's a child, a friend of a child's, or someone. I need to be ready at all times to give a word for the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. So, you know, it says that it will be upon the servants and upon the handmaiden. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. Everyone has that ability to receive the Spirit of God to guide. To direct. It's not just up for the pulpit.
Right.
It's not just up for the pulpit. So, you know, I asked today, you know, look at your salvation walk. Where is there an opportunity to do some cleaning?
Well.
What part may have some insects in it? And you don't have to tell me. It's between you and God that you might want to get out right about now. What would be loosened up for you so you can be more of what God would have you to be? That you can walk in here restored.
Mm-hmm.
Not halfway. Not I'm sometimes saved and sometimes I'm not, but restored and being what God would have you to be.
Yeah.
See, God knew that it was not going to be possible for us to do everything that we were supposed to do as laid out in the Word of God. We would not be able to make the proper sacrifices. We won't be able to live to every letter of the Word that's there. But he loved us so much and he wanted us restored so much that he gave his son Jesus Christ for us. Ultimately, he knew that if Jesus came, we have an opportunity.
All right.
We have an opportunity to live right, be full of his Holy Spirit, and be where he would want us to be than the time that he comes back. So he gave his son, who was 100% God and 100% man. And he stepped down through 42 generations to make sure that we had the opportunity for repentance and restoration. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He grew. He had a mother that was Mary, a father who was God, an earthly father who was Joseph. Up to 12 years old, he did everything that any other child would have done. But then they found him in the temple, sharing information. And we knew something was different. They had to go back and get him and take him with him. But his role was always the same. From the time that he was born until the time that he gave up his life on Calvary's cross, he was there to restore us back to God. He was there to let us know we needed to repent and we needed to do more so we can see the great things that God has to do in our life. When he was about 30 years old, it was time for his earthly ministry to begin. And he went and he saved those that were dead, and he gave healing to those that needed healing. He preached and he taught. He had disciples. He had all kinds of people that followed him based upon who he was, which was his father's son. His father's son. He did all of that. And at the end of his own ministry, people still rejected him. Didn't want repentance. Didn't want restoration. Didn't want any of that. They just wanted to see him gone. So he was arrested and he went through several trials. And then they finally said that, you know, the one who came to save the world is the one that we're going to kill today. So they thought. So they put him on a cross. And even, I love it, on the cross he restored people. In various places. Everything he said up there brought restoration to someone. To someone. And then he gave up his ghost. He let his head down. No one ever killed him. No one ever took his life. No one took his life. They took him down from that cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. And then he went and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Because restoration has to include everything that's tied up. It has to be let loose. Everything. So everything. So it was a necessity for him to go there, obtain those things, establish power, establish presence. Changed life for all of us. Then on the third day, he rose again with all power. All power in his hands. On the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. And because he has power, I have power. Because he did that for me, I can do whatever I need to do for him. Because what he did on Calvary's cross restored me. It's my job to help to restore anybody else. So I'm going to live the word. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to share the word. All power he got on. All power. Did a little more teaching. Did a little more telling for 40 some odd days. And then he ascended into heaven. And he sits there right now on the right-hand side of his Father. And he's making intercession for us. And I know I've been talking for a while, but I just have to talk about the intercession a little bit. That means that he knew, even after we accepted him as our Lord and our Savior, sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're not going to say or do the right thing. Sometimes we may go into the wrong area in our life. But he's able, when that happens and we repent truly, crucify our flesh, make a decision that this is what we're going to do going forward. He leans over to his father and says, I got this one. I got this one. This one's one of mine. Restored. Think about that. Every time somebody comes down the aisle, restored. Restored. That's what's so important, that we are restored back into our right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. Now I'm all finished. I don't have anything more to say other than we know that we need to be in line with what God has planned for us. We know we need to be restored. We know we need to be satisfied. We know that because of Christ in our life, we have no shame. And we know that when we truly give our lives over to him, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is in us and it's due to us. And we can expect that to happen. We can expect that to happen because I'm gonna tell you, he's coming back. The day of the Lord is coming soon. And if you don't get your house in order, and that's what they say as a cliche, but get your heart right, get your mind right, get your life right, you're going to be here while everybody else is gone. Because you might think, I got another day. I got one more day. If I have just one more day, Lord, let me just try this one more day. And then I swear I'll do what you want me to do. And that's the day that you miss out. And you miss the rapture. And those who love Jesus Christ will no longer be in this earth. And if you think it's bad now, and you think it's an issue when you have shootings 1, 2, 3 times a day, shootings in the middle of the day, late at night, shootings when children are coming back and forth to school, you can't leave your homes because somebody's looking to break in and take the things that you have, they'll take your car, they'll destroy your children if the world gets a hold to them. And that's with the Holy Spirit here. That's with the Holy Spirit now. God forbid, when he's gone and you're here, you'll hear the word. Yeah, you'll hear.
Yes.
You can think about repentance. It's a little late. You can think about restoration. It's a little late. But wherever you're at, when that happens, you got to be satisfied.
Amen.